It is 5:30. It is Columbus Day, and that means it is time for the monthly meeting with Supervisor Tim Humphrey, who is here, raring to go. How's it going, Tim?
It's good, Raleigh. How are you today?
I can't complain. what am I saying? Give me time, and I will. But things look pretty good in Healy County, and we're going to talk about that. So what's up?
You bet they are. And just in case somebody wants to call them in, why don't you give them that number?
You know, I almost forget because it's so useless.
That's okay.
Yeah, but if we could trundle you to the phone right now, even at gunpoint, dial 888-876-5593. That's 8888-ROLLYE. And an operator is standing by to take your call. Actually, it's John who does the PSAs, but he's raring to go, as are we all.
Well, so thank you for that. Yeah, maybe somebody will call in and let us know about the fair and if they enjoyed it.
What
we could do for the next fair, or if they like what we did done in the second arena and, you know, things of that. But I'll start off with what I've been doing on recent activities lately. Attended 4 agenda meetings. I met with the Town of Miami manager, Alexis Rivera, and James Menlove, whom is the county manager, to discuss some of the things that we're working on with the Town of Miami. Attended a Greenback Valley 150th year anniversary celebration.
Whoa.
That ranch has been in the family for 150 years, and it's a beautiful place, and it was a nice event. And I don't know how many people, Raleigh, but I would say 150 anyway. It was well attended. And met with Patty Powers, the county's liaison in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
She was out here for our groundbreaking on the Tonto Creek Bridge, which is a major, major undertaking, and been working on that for a long time. But anyway, had a couple meetings with her. We meet with her when we can, because if there's things going on in Washington, like funding and things that we need to know.
Yeah.
And then if there's things that we're working on, like Tri-City or some of those things that need a little help or push, anytime we can, we use her to help us with our Washington contacts.
No, it's very important, because for a rural county not to have a voice, forget it. You'd be overrun completely. You have to have somebody pushing the agenda for those of us who are in rural America.
Yeah, like I said at the groundbreaking at Tonto Basin, it's like if you're not up there banging on their door and letting them know you're alive, mm-hmm. and then knowing your first name, you know, they got huge cities like Philadelphia and things like that with major problems, and here you are putting in for an infrastructure grant.
Right.
You know, you have to be up there pounding on their door and seeing why the grant didn't go through and what can you do to build a better grant. And,
sure.
And doing all the pushing and shoving you can do. So anyway, it was some good meetings with her, and then attended the Tonto Creek groundbreaking that was October the 4th,
mm-hmm.
I believe,
Just
last week, yeah. And then I left that and went down to Tucson for a County Supervisors Association legislative summit. That's when the supervisors of Arizona get together and kind of discuss of what they think would be good to present to the legislature when they come back in session. And, you know, every county has there are different issues, but in a lot of times, some of the rural areas and even some of the metropolitan areas have the same issues.
Sure.
So as our world changes, you know, some of our laws and regulations and things were written many, many years ago. So getting new legislation up front, and one of my pet peeves is property and blighted property and the reason for it and why does the state own so many properties. People have difficulties and end up in a state care facility, and then they pass away, and then the state a lot of times will lien the property, and so I think the state shouldn't be in the real estate business. So if you've got property you got liens on, sell them, get rid of them.
Well, more than for economic reasons, you look around parts of Globe Miami and the blight is astounding. And you say to yourself, well, why isn't this just bulldozed? And then you find out that it's not so easy.
No.
So if nothing else, something should be done to allow counties to basically bulldoze blighted properties that have no ownership, you know, trail. They haven't been paying taxes in a while. They're dead or they're gone or whatever. It shouldn't go to the state and sit there in perpetuity as if it's a monument.
Well, there's, you know, some of the things we're working on in legislation, trying to get some of those things, you know, issued. And if someone does pass away and someone else is paying the taxes on that particular property, they should be liable. I mean, Absolutely. What if there's a health hazard? What if there's something like this?
Absolutely.
Code enforcement goes knock on the door. They do their investigation. And all of a sudden, the owner of the property has been deceased for 4 years.
Right.
But it'll never go into a tax sale because someone is paying the taxes on the property.
Well, then absolutely they should be liable.
But it's not a state law. So that's one of my major issues.
And I'm sure it is. Let me ask you, though, because we've talked about this over the years. This is not a new problem. Are we close to maybe having some type of resolution where the state will actually acknowledge that we've got this problem and they're going to find another way to deal with it?
I would love to say yes, Raleigh, but right now, no.
No. Yeah. So we're stuck.
They're looking at all the new infrastructure and the water issues and things of that nature. But to go backwards on some of the stuff that's, you know, was written years and years ago, fixing it right now, I'm kind of bumping my head against the wall on that, but we'll keep working at it. You know, it's something that I won't let rest. I'll keep pushing.
Yeah, it's important to the community because when you drive through streets and streets and streets of blight, that doesn't help the few property owners who are trying to keep up a property. And, you know, right. We talk so much about TRSD and what would happen if that didn't come in. But there are many properties right now that are unoccupied because there is no form of waste disposal. Yeah. Those properties shouldn't be standing.
Right. Oh, I agree. And, you know, the blighted deal, it's like, what come first, the chicken or the egg? Well, we got to have both of them.
Right.
You know, I mean, we got to work on getting sewer. We got to work on getting some laws passed to where the issue of deceased and responsibility of properties and things of that nature. So we need to kind of work on all of it at once.
Yeah.
And we kind of are. It's just not a lot of progress. But government moves slow. After being self-employed my whole life, it's extremely frustrating to have been a supervisor now for, what, 6.5 years. And some of the things you've been pushing for 6.5 years are just moving forward, but at a snail's pace.
Right.
But that we keep working on it. And I have my public meetings. And today I had a public meeting at Roosevelt at 1 o'clock. And we take a sign-in sheet so that people can write their phone number and their email address. So if we have a special guest showing or something coming up, we can email them and let them know. And I just wanted to let the community know that I had 37 people at my Roosevelt community meeting.
Did
and
you
we can't
really?
Get anybody to call in here.
Yeah, all right. Now, come on. Is it that no one is listening? And, you know, I know there's a way to test it, and I won't do it. But, you know, we could incite God knows what. But the reality is that when you're in Roosevelt or when you're in Tonneau Basin, it's crucial that you get a hold of your representative and you do go to the meeting because you understand what that means to you. But it means just as much to you in the Globe, Miami area, yet people just let it pass by. Right. And when it was in person, not a lot of people showing up in person either. But this is one where you don't have to leave the house, you don't have to get dressed, you just have to go to a phone of any sort and dial 888-876-5593 and bring up what you're ticked off about, because I know you're ticked off about something.
Well, yeah, a couple people have contacted me and says, well, Tim, I didn't want to be negative on the radio. And it's like, okay, if you don't want to be negative on the radio, at least call me at the office and let me know, because if I don't know, I can't fix it.
Well, that's exactly right.
If you have a problem, if their sign needs to be put up or a guardrail's broken or a road's bad or the neighbor's animals are running the streets, you know, I mean, anything. I guess everything's fine in the Miami Claypool Globe area.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Yeah,
it's just Valhalla.
Just not calls. But anyway, if they want to call me, they're more than welcome to it. 928-402-4417 is my office. And if you want to talk to somebody, it's 928-402-4417. 4418, and that is my assistant, Terry Lynx. And if you have an issue and you don't want to get on the radio and be negative on the radio, or confront something on the radio, I understand. Call my office. We'll set up a meeting. Because, like I said, I put in for a job. I work for you. And if you've got an issue, if I don't know about it, I can't help you with it.
Absolutely. And as far as being negative on the radio, talk radio lives for this. Come on. There are stations coast to coast. Believe me, what they're saying, you can't top. So by all means, give us the issue that matters to you.
Yeah. But tomorrow I'll hold a Tonto Basin community meeting at the Chamber of Commerce at 5 o'clock.
And people will be there too.
People will be there. I don't know how many, but we'll do a sign-in sheet and I'll let you know.
All right.
And met with the Tri-City board members and county manager and Homero. I will meet with them Homero via on Wednesday to discuss easement issues that I guess Tri-City is working on, you know, getting ready to go forward on phase one. And there's some easement issues that we're going to see if maybe we can't help them with some of those issues. And I know a lot of those issues may be because of private property, private roads and things like that. But anyway, if there's anything that we can help them with, we'll try to do that.
Wouldn't it be the case with something like a public utility that if there was a private property issue, that if necessary, eminent domain would take care of that?
Yeah, maybe. But I haven't pushed that issue at this point. And for a utility that's, 6 foot underground, I mean, the property owner's never going to know it's there. I don't know if there's... Well, like I say, that's why we're meeting to.
Well, right. My only point is that there's no way that someone is going to stop this project, as far as that goes, and so.
Well, we got both fingers crossed. I hope that no one act can stop this circus.
I don't think so.
But anyway, in the fairgrounds, like I said, the improvements went in. You know, we got it repaved up around the grandstands where we took the old buildings down. And we put in the new portable arena, so now we have two arenas, so we can put in for high school rodeo finals and things like that that require two of them. And there was a roping event the weekend after the fair.
Good.
And used both arenas, so I was unable to be there, but I heard it went well. So if anybody would like to call in and let us know how the fair went, or if there's something they'd like to see next year at the fair.
Yeah, I'd love to hear feedback on the fair. And, you know, I haven't yet from anyone, and that somewhat surprises me that there's been so little talk about this.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. But we're working to get more going on at the fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. And also, too, the state has some property around the fairgrounds.
Yes.
And so what we're doing is we're kind of in discussions, and where I'm working with the county manager to see maybe about maybe purchasing some more property that's adjacent to the fairgrounds so that we can better design recreation, parking, maybe concerts and things of that nature, because we're so central in the state that, you know, if we can create activities there. We're so close to Phoenix and Tucson and Safford and Sholo that I can't believe that we wouldn't have more people coming here if we had more going on. And even the local people, you know, you constantly hear that there's nothing for anybody to do. There's no activities. And, you know, years ago, out at the fairgrounds, there was always something, Gem and Mineral Show or this or that. Or there seemed to be always something going. So that's another one of my pet peeves, is to work on the fairgrounds and try to get some things rolling there. And like I say, now that we have the new arena down below, we're putting out for bids for bathroom facilities down at the arenas. Instead of portables, then we'll be able to have, not that if we have a lot of people, we won't use portables as well, but we'll have a facility down there that people that use the RV park. And if they don't know, yeah, there's an RV park out there too. We'll be able to use those facilities as well. So we're working on that. And on the Tunnel Creek Bridge, like I say, we had the the groundbreaking on October 4th. And when we put in for the grant, now Healy County entered into a grant agreement with U.S. DOT and ADOT, Arizona Department of Transportation, to receive funding in the amount of $21,095,564 to build the bridge across Tonto. And in 2020, U.S. DOT informed Healy County that the Build 2020 had additional funds for a reallocation and invitation to put in for these grant funds if you had a grant accepted, because they knew that materials had gone up and things of that had
happened.
And so we were able to put in and receive a grant of an extra grant of $250,000, which goes away to help with expenses that were kind of unexpected.
It's interesting when people think normally about what is a relatively small bridge over a relatively small area. I don't think many people think that that's going to be a $21 million project. But in fact, it is. So a lot of things for a county have to come together to make that a reality.
They do. You know, like I said, it's groundbreaking. When I was in the construction business, on my blackboard, I had team, T-E-A-M, but I had it written downwards because together everybody achieves more, and they do. And you know, with this bridge, you know, between the deaths, between people from the state, between people from the federal government, between the locals, because you know, when I flew to Washington on that grant application that we didn't receive, it's like, what do we need to do to build a better grant? What could we do? Why did we not make it? You know, these kind of things. And, you know, I was told that they did a real good job of writing the grant. All the nuts and bolts were there, but the human element wasn't there.
Interesting.
So we got, Randy Roberson, and he filmed some of the stories of the people that had to cross it to go to work every day, sending a child on your, you know, in your army truck across the creek,
right,
to go to school and things of this nature. And so, you know, I think things like that helped. And so, like I say, the team, because the state come up with the funding for us at one point, but then had to withdraw it because of COVID. So,
right.
But they were willing to sit down and write letters and be supportive in us continuing trying to reach for this. And so it was a great effort by our, you know, our state representatives and people up in Washington that like I say, it worked. We got the funding. So
right.
It took a lot of people working on it. And you know, going forward with that bridge up, everybody realized that that's going to create some infrastructure as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so thinking ahead of the curve, a lot of our ordinances and things were written years ago. And so all of a sudden the question comes up of you know, what about fifth wheels and motorhomes on property? Because with the cost of materials and building materials and permits and labor, you know, and things of that nature, looking ahead, what if people buy up lots and things like that? What's the zoning going to be for fifth wheels and motorhomes? And the people that have lived there for most of their life and have a real nice home, you know, what's going to go for that? And if we open that can of worms, it'll be countywide. You know what I mean? Because you can't set precedents for Tonto Basin, because if you change GU, which is general use, that's going to include the whole county. So today at my Roosevelt meeting and tomorrow at my Tonto Basin meeting, I've kind of opened that up to the public. Like, give me your 2 cents worth. What do you think? And, you know, what do you think about a fifth wheel in the lot next to you? Or two of them? Or, you know, I mean, do they need septic? What do you feel about the taxes on the place? What do you feel about a permit for an RV? And it's renewable every 6 months or every year, depending that you keep up with, you know, whatever the rules and regulations of that is. And so, you know, that's something that the county, I believe, is going to go forward with in the future in public meetings to get public input if we're going to rewrite how GU operates with like tiny homes or some of those other living.
Now, if you succeed in doing that, will individuals who are already in a situation with a mobile home or a fifth wheel or a tiny home or whatever, will they be grandfathered in, or will they have to meet new requirements?
I would think there probably wouldn't. There's another question. Good question. 'Cause I don't know that answer, and I don't know if that would be written into policy or not, because I think if you're rewriting GU, you could write that it could be grandfathered or anything prior to this is not grandfathered. But that's a good question, because as we're working through redoing some of these issues with zoning and things, a lot of questions are going to come before our county attorney.
And that's huge, yeah. Because, you know, even here in Globe, Miami, you take a Central Heights or something like that, you have a lot of lots where there are mobile homes on them,
sure.
Things of this nature. And so if these people are not grandfathered in, yeah. It's really important that they're part of the process of what they're going to sure. have to do to comply.
Well, mobile homes would be, because they wouldn't have a mobile home there if it wasn't legal. I'm thinking more of the fifth wheels and motorhomes instead
right.
instead of trailer houses. Or
well, I agree with that,
homes.
But there's a difference, as you well know, between a mobile home that is affixed and one that is personal property and theoretically is more mobile than not.
Well, I yes, other than the manufacturer that builds a mobile home or modular home, it's mm-hmm. meant to live in, where like a fifth wheel is not
right.
meant to live in.
Yeah.
And so that's what creates so many issues in getting into rewriting GU, because manufacturer says that, you know, it's not meant to live in full time. Okay, well what's full time?
Right.
And so that's a definition that's real vague, and nobody, you can't go to the dictionary and find the answer,
right.
because there isn't one. So, and so that's some of the gray areas that I'm wanting to clear up before we're growing. You can't deny that. We're not growing as we want to, where we want to, but we're growing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I would like some of these issues worked on before all of a sudden we get there and somebody asks a question. You've got to say, I don't know.
Yeah. No, absolutely, and you're right. Modular and mobile, as far as if they're made by Cavco or whatever, there's you know all sorts of things that make it a permanent solution.
Sure.
But you know your GMC motorhome that somebody has as a collector, which they're now living in all the time. What does that mean? Good question.
Right, and what's the restrictions? Do they need a septic tank? Do they not need a septic tank?
Well, and if they don't have a septic tank and they're living it, obviously they're showering it. There's obvious wastewater.
So they got portables.
Yeah, do they? We hope.
Or they have tanks that they.
We hope.
That they hope. Yeah, right. So, like I say, you know, this is a huge can of worms.
Yeah.
And my hat's off to staff, very much so, for willing to take on
right.
GU and get public input and look at what is it going to be 2 years down the road? What's it going to be
right.
5 years down the road?
Right.
But you have to, because people not wanting to do that, we're ended up with property rules and regulations that were written, you know, back when we were a territory type deal.
Well, sure.
And it's like some of these need to change. We need to update some of our things for today's world.
Now, with that in mind, obviously, we're talking for the most part of unincorporated county land. What happens when you're talking about within a municipality? Like if the county of Gila County redoes GU, does that affect, say, a city like Globe or a town like Miami? Or do they, no matter what, take precedence?
No, because GU is pretty much in the unincorporated areas.
Okay.
You know, general use is pretty much out of
all right.
regular.
So this wouldn't affect Pace and Globe, Miami, no matter how it came down?
Well, in rural areas, yes. In housing developments, no. But in rural areas, yes.
But I mean in terms of city limits. If you're within the city limits of, say, Globe or the town limits of Miami.
Yeah, well, pretty much I don't reach very far to step on toes of the mayor and council.
Right.
So I would say that in my district, the mayor and council would be responsible okay. on what they want to do within the city of Miami, okay. as well as Mayor Gomeros and our council would be for Globe on what, you know, they want to do.
All right.
And so that's kind of where I'm at with that. But anyway, with that in mind, if someone has a comment on any of it, they can go to HelaCountyAZ.gov to the Gila County website. They can click on departments. They can click on Board of Supervisors. Then click on District 2. Scroll down to the bottom. And click on Community. To make comments, you can go to Community Development at HelaCountyAZ.gov. And then you can do comments like on how you feel about fifth wheels or motorhomes on property and how long they can stay or septics or that nature. So that would be community development at HelaCountyAZ.gov.
Yeah, I'm there now. You go to HelaCountyAZ.gov, and across the top, you've got a banner, and there's one called Offices and Departments. You look at that. You then get to Community Development.
Great.
Now, when I get to Community Development, I've got four choices: Building Safety, Code Enforcement, Planning and Zoning, and Wastewater. Would this be Planning and Zoning?
Yes.
Okay, so then you would click on Planning and Zoning, and I'm looking for where I can make comments. I don't see that. I see all this stuff, but I don't see comments.
Okay. I was told by Randy today that there was a place for comments.
There probably is. It's just not here.
I just don't know where that would...
Yeah,
that's... community development, and you went up, and that's all you could. Okay.
Yes. That's one of the problems with, and it's certainly not to point out Gila County or Globe or Miami or anything, but in general, the municipal websites for many people
are hard to navigate.
They are hard to navigate.
Very much so.
You can easily get to community development. Now, if you click on just clicking on community development and not selecting any of the four, I've got an email at the bottom that says community development at HelaCountyAZ.gov. It doesn't tell me I can make comments, but I assume...
I would imagine that's where you're
yeah,
at.
Right.
Yeah,
you
could go to that and make a comment,
right,
perhaps.
Right, and maybe whoever you talk to, it should be a way that people would know that that's what it is.
Right. And then, if you're curious on some of my meetings at Roosevelt or Tonto Basin or Geisela, there's minutes taken on those meetings. And that's what I was given instructions for earlier, is you can go to HelaCountyAZ.gov.
Oh, yeah.
Which gets you to the Gila County website. Then click on Departments.
Mm-hmm.
Click on Board of Supervisors.
Correct.
Click on District 2.
Correct.
And then it says scroll to the bottom and click on Community Meeting Minutes.
Actually, looking at this, not at the bottom, but if I look at the meetings on the side, I can see meeting agendas, audio recordings, and minutes.
Okay, so that would be minutes, yeah.
Right, it's not okay. at the bottom. It's
on the left.
On the left-hand side.
Okay.
And by the way, not to confuse the matter, but if you click on the meeting calendar, you can get there too. But in any event, so meeting agendas, and you can click anything from 27 to 2022. You can click on the year, and there are the minutes right there.
Right.
And that's easy. Like I say, I tend to do it the easy way where'd it go? Just going to meeting calendar, because if you click on the meeting calendar and you go to whatever meeting you're wanting to know about, you can get them that way too.
Right.
But But yeah, that's easy enough. So GilaCountyAZ.gov, click on offices and department, click on board of supervisors, click on district 2, and I assume that you'll get the same place at district 1 or 3.
Those districts.
Right.
But I don't know that they have meeting minutes, because I don't know about their meetings or if they have them or how often.
Meeting but meeting agendas, audio recordings, and minutes. It's right. All right there. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll look at one of the other districts. I'm assuming there is the same deal. Yeah, it's the same deal.
Right. Because so. We have had, you know, we've had calls from Tonto Basin and things like that on questions, and so I just
sure.
wanted to share that with the public. So if they do live in the surrounding communities or in this community and would like to know what some of those meeting minutes are mm-hmm. going on and kind of how those meetings go, they're more than welcome to find the minutes.
Now, these are, when I'm looking at the minutes, these are the minutes of the Board of Supervisors meetings, the work sessions, the regular and the special meetings.
Okay.
They're not the minutes of, say, if you do a Tonto Basin meeting
but
this
do
meeting.
The meetings at Tonto Basin and Roosevelt should be there.
They're not.
As well. They are.
Terry,
we need you to call.
Yeah, what we need, it, tell me where, and we will go over this next time.
Okay.
So I will now.
Yeah, I will, because she, yeah, she yeah. said that all the meeting minutes are there from.
From your individual meetings, and that would be
meetings.
Great to have.
It is.
So we just need to know
okay,
how to get there.
Okay, she told me to
easily.
Scroll to the bottom. So is there anything on the bottom that says anything about...
Okay, the only thing on the bottom, we have departments, home, jobs, quick links, Facebook, find us, contact us, YouTube, and other links.
Okay.
So...
Well, I seem to have been misleading for you and for everybody else, and I'll fix
well,
that.
Let's get Terry on the phone next meeting, and I'll sit here with a computer and we'll
sure.
go over it. Because
sure.
if I can't find it easily, no one can find
no
it.
No one can. Yeah, and she painfully takes all the meeting minutes
yeah.
and types them out and does put them on. So
yeah,
Terry just called. She'll call you back as soon as you're off the air.
Okay. What I'd really like is her to call when we're on the air next month and explain it to us all.
Sure. And then that way people can check on meeting minutes and what went on. Or if they live at Tonto Basin or Roosevelt or Gaisela or somewhere that I have meetings.
Sure.
And they missed it, then they can get on it to see what they missed.
That's great to know. So
okay.
I'm all for that.
Well, good.
Good.
Well, I'm about out of information for... today, Raleigh.
Well, the only other piece of information we have is the next meeting is November 14th at 5:30 right here.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, and I maybe we'll get a call in from the local area sometime.
Yeah, wouldn't that be amazing?
And,
so.
Think about something and let us know.
Yeah, it gives you more than a month to think about it, because that's November 14th at 5:30, so you can prepare your statement, you can rehearse it, or you can just call on the fly, whatever you like, but it would be good if we had, if Tonto Basin and Roosevelt can show up with throngs of people, and we're on the radio, we assume you listen, that might be a big assumption on my part, but we assume you listen, so pick up the phone next time, but in any event, if you tuned in late to this meeting and are saying, I don't want to miss a dulcet tone, well, it will be up at kqss.net in perpetuity. It will, and it'll be up before the weekend. Whenever I get a chance to go ahead and edit it, I'll put it up there. The other thing is, it will replay in its entirety on Sunday morning at 8:00 at KJAA. So you can check out more at KJAA US or 1240 AM or 106.1 FM. So until next November 14th, there's absolutely no excuse, and we will talk to you then.
Really, thank you.
Thank you.
KQSS Miami.